Animals have played a significant role in Australian Defence Force for a very long time, but most of us are fairly clueless about the work of our four-legged friends and other legged friends in conflict. Horses, dogs, camels, and even pigeons have been instrumental to Australian efforts in past conflicts such as World War I and II, and even today, dogs are deployed overseas to places such as Afghanistan. To find out more about animals in war, we're talking now to Nigel Alsop, founder and president of the Australian War Animal Memorial Organization. Nigel's been a dog handler for the New Zealand Defence Force and has worked for a variety of zoos and wildlife parks. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Nigel.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
So, Nigel, the Australian War Animal Memorial Organization, what prompted you to found this?
Yeah, look, many years ago, I served in a different armed forces, a couple actually, as a dog handler, and saw active service overseas. And after the tours of duty, there was nothing to actually allow our animals to be brought back home, quarantine-wise. And obviously, still in current history, we left 11 dogs Australia in Vietnam after the conflict because of quarantine requirements. And obviously, before that, we left many hundreds of thousands of horses in World War I and other animals overseas. So it wasn't until relatively recent terms, in current history, 1993, that the first animals were allowed to come back to Australia. That's after the conflict in Somalia.
So it seems like a pretty poor payment to man's best friend to send it into a war zone. How are these animals actually used in armed conflicts?
Well, if we're talking about man's best friend, i.e. the dog, obviously before that in World War I, horses were the main, or equines in general, mules and donkeys were by far the mm-hmm. most prevalent animal, because they were the transportation hub. They were and before trucks, even in World War I in particular, being the centenary, you couldn't have fought World War I without the logistics of the equine. Also, you mentioned before the humble pigeon. Mm-hmm. I mean, the pigeon carried most of the messages, and this was due to a couple of main sort of reasons. Obviously, we're so used to the mobile phone getting pictures on it. If a general wanted a picture of a map or a battle site, he had to sort of draw it and send it back. And then one method was to fly it back in a pigeon. And the main reason for the pigeon was distance, again, due to modern technology. Unlike, say, Napoleon that sat on his horse and looked at the battle that was going on and could make decisions, because of new technology and warfare, such as the distance of machine guns and artillery, the rear commanders found themselves miles and miles behind the front lines, and they were effectively blind, and they didn't know what was going on, so they needed constant updating, and the humble pigeon was a way of doing it. So even though we see it pooing on your shoulders in places like Trafalgar Square and other mm-hmm. places on your lunch, it was perhaps one of the most important animals in World War One.
And Nigel, I mean, when humans go out into armed conflict and do feats of bravery and important things, they get awarded with medals. How much recognition do the animals get for their service?
Look, up until very, very recently, in fact, Australia can be very proud of being the first country, I believe, that's actually issued a medal to dogs that have served in Afghanistan, and they're looking at expanding that to earlier conflicts. So it's great to see that we have finally recognised them. To answer your question, I don't think any up until then, last year, no, they became totally unrecognised, and that's why we formed our association to give them, say, a memorial, mm-hmm. obviously to recognise their deeds and sacrifices, not in any way to celebrate the use of them in warfare, but to just honour all the animals. Remembering in World War One, 9 million animals were killed in World War One, and I had the pleasure last year in Queensland, I was named the Anzac of the Year, and I had the pleasure of going to Pozieres in France last July, and opened up the official War Animal Memorial at the Western Front for not only Australian, but American, Canadian, Indian, New Zealand, and British, of course, and all the other Allied forces, mm-hmm. and also the Axis forces as well. So obviously animals had no malice, no side, And so we obviously honouring all the animals from all sides in that conflict.
So, Nigel, you've actually written quite a few books on the topic of war animals yourself, including one about a Yorkshire Terrier called Smokey. Can you tell us a bit more about that story?
About Smokey, yeah, absolutely. And incidentally, Bill Wynn, the World War II handler of Smokey, is still alive and well, and he's 96 years young. We have a large statue of Smokey the war dog at the Royal Brisbane Women's Hospital. Smokey was what we would now call the world's first post-traumatic stress dog. Smokey was born in Queensland and initially an Australian dog, but it's, the story itself is interesting. Bill was owed a gambling debt. Bill was an American serviceman at the time, and so the guy, the Aussie, didn't have any money, so he gave him his Yorkshire Terrier, Smokey, as part exchange, and in a place we know as the Kokoda area. And Smokey came back from the Western Pacific area quite frequently with Bill, as he was a mechanic on General MacArthur's plane, who obviously stationed himself in Brisbane. So Smokey came back and forth from war zones to Australia all the time. And when he wasn't at the war zone, he was at the what is now the Royal Brisbane Women's Hospital, which was then the United States Marine Corps Hospital in World War II, jumping on beds, licking faces, and effectively cheering people up, which we now call post-traumatic stress. Remember, in those days, we were very ignorant of the this sad mental disorder or illness, and we were very ignorant, and we didn't know what it was, and, you know, ranging from cowardice to the shell shock. So that was very Smokey was very much at its infancy of helping soldiers, like dogs do, post-traumatic stress dogs do to this very day.
Well, on that point, you know, historically there have been, in addition to the kind of uplifting and positive stories like Smokey, there have been quite a lot of very cruel acts with animals used in war. For example, like, you know, the Russians at one point experimented with strapping like mines to the, you know, backs of dogs to blow up tanks.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What sort of, how is the use of animals like these days? How, you know, how is there a lot of ethics and consideration put into how animals are used in contemporary society?
Yeah, absolutely. It is, as you say, a very controversial effort, conversation even today, whether or not we should even use the limited number that we do. There are a limited number of pack animals being used in places such, you mentioned before, modern environments such as Afghanistan. And they are used in lieu of men carrying equipment in high altitudes such as Afghanistan. Even some of the helicopters, there's not enough oxygen to fuel the engines efficiently, and so they use old-fashioned methods. In regard to military working dogs, they're the most perhaps common used animal that we currently use today, and the reason they're still used is their vast superior in scent. To give you some indication, most American forces in Afghanistan and Iraq state that military working dogs detecting roadside explosive bombs have saved up to 10,000 soldiers' lives. So even though we're using dogs, perhaps it is a difficult argument for anyone to make that, you know, should we still use them? Well, if your son was one of those statistics, you'd say use a dog beyond doubt, no doubt. And there is no machine at the moment that is capable of basically doing the type of job a dog can do so successful in detecting these explosives.
Okay.
So that's why they're still used to this day.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Nigel. It's all been very interesting. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.